energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me, it's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me strongly. If you feel me, everybody throw your hands up and say, we need it. His blessings on me, I feel the grace. I don't deserve it, it's just his pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me, if you agree, can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning,
thank you, God,
to get it in. No, I'm not playing, this is my trend. No, I'm not perfect, I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self, turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop.
Hand.
Yeah. I feel good, I'm so grateful. I feel good, I'm so thankful. I feel good, man, I'm so blessed. I feel good, hands up.
Calling, the riches of your glory, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us who submit and obey you. Father, bless us with the full, to have a full understanding of the love of Christ. Amen. The depth, the width, the breadth, the height of the love of Christ, which passes all understanding of man. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, we ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I thank you. You know, I was blessed by a man of God that told me how this program was helping, amen, increasing. You know, when you've been in Christ, the challenge is amazing. I've met people that have dropped off. It's as though God could get born. But see, if you're being religious, that'll happen. If you're just doing rituals hoping to get into heaven, yeah, you will get probably bored at this and frustrated. But see, you got to really sometimes just meditate and think about what is going on. I mean, the Bible is not a really simple book, and it was designed that way because in all things related to God, he wants us to understand that as spirit men, spirit women, that we have to acknowledge that God is God. And he holds the key to the Bible. You know, I when you think about it, it is a book. If you ever seen this movie and I have to warn you, it's PG because they do use a lot of profanity, but it's called Pulp Fiction. And in the movie, you know, you have what seemed to be the start of the movie is actually not the start of the movie. It's actually the end of the movie. And I really think the guy that made the movie was copying off the Bible. He got the theme from the Bible. Because the Bible is set up like that. You got the what went on in the very beginning, Satan's rebellion, is in the middle of the Bible. The activity, the actual rebellion, is at the end of the Bible. The impact of his actions is in the beginning of the Bible. And I just can't imagine that man would have come up with that by himself. But, you know, the thing about it here is that you have a growth process, an evolution, if I might use that term, in the Bible of mankind. And it we know that it starts out with learning to be submissive to God. I mean, right off, people know of the story of Adam and Eve and the commandment they were given not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it come down to the simple fact that God say don't do it. It isn't even an issue of why. I mean, he would tell you, I found that if you ask God why in the time that he think that it will benefit you, that you're mature enough to understand, he'll tell you why. Okay, he's not withholding because the object here is the development of your character. And understand that man is a God, small g, class being. He is higher than angels, lower than God. And it's something that you have to grasp hold to, this thing. It's amazing. We'll go and sit and watch a fiction movie and believe that almost with ease, but when it comes to God, we tend to be challenged because of the way life is. The fact that this isn't heaven on earth right now, but there's a purpose. It really speaks to the magnitude of who we are. Again, I refer to incidents in the Bible, in Luke chapter 16 and in Mark chapter 9, where there's supernatural events going on that if you don't really sit and ponder them, you don't really pick up on all that goes on. But it shows you something about the characteristic and the nature of mankind that we don't really readily observe. For instance, in Mark chapter 9, there's a conversation going on between Jesus, Moses and Elijah. And Moses and Elijah left in a chariot of fire. Now, that's something else that, man, you know, he might nowadays with these movies, it might have come up with something that weird, you know, that strange. But that's not normal. At that time, you know, I haven't seen the History Channel deal with that one, but I'm pretty sure they came up with something that fits human logic. But Moses, on the other hand, died the common death, you know. And in Jude, the book of Jude, and it's amazing, and this is something, you want to see something, re-ask your Christian friends, have they read the book of Jude? There's one chapter. That's sad if they won't even read one chapter. But there's so much in that one chapter. When you research it out, it's like 10 books in that one chapter. But that's another thing. Only God can do that. There's certain activities that you had to go back into the Old Testament and do some research, and you got to cross the language barriers from Greek to Hebrew to get a revelation, like the deed of the Nicolaitans. You know, what is that? Well, see, you got to go and read the Bible and find out what that is. Anyway, it's basically a scam that some people set up, got people caught up to try to see that's about how Satan conspired again to get the children of Israel into a place where they were in sin, because when they were in righteousness, no army could defeat them. I mean, you see statements like that in the Bible. That, you know, when Israel showed up, even though they weren't the largest army, it didn't matter. It did not matter. When they showed up, their God fought for them as long as they were walking upright. And it's the same thing here. See, again, you take the activity of the Bible, and then you put it into the format or the framework of where we are now. The body of Christ is the army of God in the earth. And we can do, and the Lord is our God. See, we see the term, and I was looking at that the other day. I was visiting with my brother, and they read the term, the Lord of Armies. In the King James, is the Lord of Sabaoth. It's not Sabaoth. People misinterpret that as Sabaoth, but no, it's the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of Armies. You know, not only the armies of angels, but see, the angels are controlled by the saints of God. We wield tremendous power, tremendous power. We're going to glance at some of that today. But you have to understand, so you have to look at life as you're not earning your way to heaven. Jesus paid for that. The rent's paid. You know, it's an all expenses paid trip that's taken care of, okay? But you don't know how to be a God, small g. Because, again, when you stripped up this flesh, when people, everybody that died in Christ right now, they have full authority of the full capacity of their mind. I mean, we don't know how tremendous that is. And look at what's going on in the world right now, and look what men do with the little bit of power they have. Look how they act. 15% of their mind, and look how they act. You got wars going on. It's totally unnecessary. Why? Because they don't want to see them. They think money can get them out from being in the submission of God. That's why people so dedicated to just money. They think it can get them out from under God. But if you know, I'm 70. I can look in the mirror, and one thing I know that I'm not looking down. I feel 20. My mind is 20, but when I look in the mirror, I get shocked a lot of the times. I'm like, wait a minute, who is that dude? Who's that old guy in there? All right. So you're gonna be, and that's what life challenges are about. Being submissive to God, and we know that through His Word. So, see, one of the means for helping us understand that is prayer. It's not just worship, which is another submission act, and praise, which is a submissive act, and prayer. You have to have a right to pray. See, and that's something people don't misunderstand. I had to bring this up again. I remember telling God, I'm like, you know, it'd be a lot easier if you stop answering these folk prayer that ain't saved. But see, he operates singularly from love. See, See, because he know that love will bring you to him. That's what draw him. Yeah, you know, people like, you know, I know they refer to incidents and they think, you know, when they got in an auto accident, the guy was trying to get their attention. No, Satan was trying to kill you. What God? Read John 10:10. Jesus made it plain who does what. He said the thief, a.k.a. Satan, steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life. Okay, and so what we do in Christianity and with the gospel messages that you hear in churches and on radio is try to explain this complex situation that we have. Bottom line is you have authority. When you accepted Christ, you have authority with God. Now, I've been talking about the fact that you're part of what is called the royal priesthood. You, see, we the cause. We pray for people and God answers. Okay, but you know, when God gets involved in anything, he leaves a love marker. That's what gets us. See, because you think back, there are times you probably experienced stuff before you came to Christ, but you knew it was God. You don't see, he structured life this way, okay? Well, we invite him into this atmosphere. God rules the heavens, and I'm learning something about that, boy, it is. Woo, we live in something. I'm telling you, if this life born, something dead in you, you need to praise God. I've never met a bored Christian. I've never met a Christian. Every Christian, I put it like this, every Christian I know that they're just always excited. One thing I find common with them, they love praising God. They don't wait till Sunday. They don't even wait for Monday. Hey, every chance they get, they're talking to him. And when you do that, he will talk back to you. And then he will verify it. Man, you go, that's why, you know, I had to behave in church sometime. A preacher be preaching, just be co-signing what God had told me. And I love it. I love it for the book. Okay. So we're still talking about prayer war. And the reason for this is because look at all this chaos and drama going all over the United States. And I keep hearing people say, we want God to do something about this. He did something about it. Right now, what's going on is he is waiting on his people. Go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Okay, chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 14. Now, this is an old promise, all right? This is an old statement that was made to Solomon, all right? And I'm gonna start with verse 1, then I'm gonna skip down to 14. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now, I got to talk about this. You know, matter of fact, it ain't just me. It's the Holy Ghost wants to talk about this. Solomon is the king of Israel, okay? Now, nothing would do my heart more. I am believing God, and I want you to believe God with me. Before Jesus come back, that we get one president that will be completely sanctified unto God. You know, we've had some good presidents, they tell me, over the history. But when I look at the whole picture, they don't say, for instance, okay, there was a lot of talk about some of the early presidents that were in there. They were in office during the time of slavery and all kind of violence after the Civil War. And they letting all kind of violence go on, didn't say nothing. That's not sanctified in my eyes, okay? They might have went to church and they might have read the Bible, and I'm not going to take that from them. I'm sure God called them out on it when they got over there on the other side, if they did. But, see, this man here, like I said, he submitted to God, and this is in the Bible to show what happens when you do that. This is what we need in government leadership, not religion. They didn't have a child, and they didn't have a church to go to, okay? Okay, he had to go with the God, all right? Yeah, they had priests, they had prophets, but see, it wasn't like structured like it is now. But you had time, and he didn't have the YouTube and the internet and Bibles all over the place and Bible commentary. But he knew if he went to God, that tells you if you, as an individual, go to God, he will come to you. That's what it says, I believe, in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That wasn't accidentally printed in the Bible. That wasn't something done out of, there's some space there. Let's throw that in there. That sounds good. No, that's real, because this whole thing is about you having an eternal relationship with God. But you have to have it under his condition. He know how to be God. We don't know how to be a God. Small g. I had to keep saying that. I'm conscious of that because Watchman Nee years ago, when he brought these issues up, and it's another man of God brought these issues up in the 90s, people were accusing him of teaching heretic doctrines. But that's what it's been all. That is what it is about. God, we're learning this. We're still learning. When you get to, I would be in church and I would hear the leaders say, going to another level. I'm like, not unless I get drafted. You succeed at a level, trust me, higher level comes. It comes. You'll know it because you also, what they say, new level, new devil, new amount of devils. But you'll never be overcome. Jesus said, I have overcome them. That's in John chapter 17. Read the whole chapter slowly. Pray before you read it. Never pick up your Bible and read it without praying, asking God for a revelation. Never read a book about the Bible before without praying and asking God for a revelation. I mean, God will talk to you. He's done it. You could be watching a secular movie and God will start talking to you and show you something, just like right here. When Solomon finished praying, heaven, fire came down from heaven. I know people want to see that now, but listen, I don't need to see all that. Believe me, God got a way of coming in there, and look at that, and it says, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. You know, when I moved into this house, one of the things that was on my list is I wanted God to show up in this house. Because he had showed up where I had been living before. And let me tell you about when God showed up, when you worshiping him and you praising him. He shows up. His presence, everything negative got to go. This is what you want to do. If you got sickness and disease, you want to just praise the Lord. I'm telling you. His presence and evil can't abide together. Anyway, it fills the place. And whenever he shows up, you get revelation every time that happens. He's put something in you. He never appears for nothing, okay? And that's something. You know what I mean? I like people. If people show up for me, like I'm always enthused when my children come visit. When some of my friends, especially my praying friends, come visit me, I'm always happy about that. But when God shows up, if you can mistake God's presence, listen, you can't, the devil can't imitate that, I'm telling you. And he ain't going to make you praise God. I don't know where people get that stupid from. All right. So, you read this. This is Second Chronicles. So I want to get down to this most famous. I heard this a lot when COVID first showed up. Okay. Then we're going to go back. I'm going to start at verse 12. It said, the Lord appeared unto him at night. Now, mind you, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices, okay? And when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain and command locusts to devour the land and send plague among my people, that's recession, if my people, not the whole world, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's deep right there, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, look at that. I mean, that is a tremendous amount of information right there. You know, I wasn't surprised that people would question my seven criteria for getting a prayer answer, but one of them cover everything, and that is pursuing the will of God. That'd cover all the other six, really, truth be told, okay? But it just details. Pay attention to detail, as the doctor would say, all right? Now, see, because right now, people think their prayers are failing if they are, okay, then there's a reason. It don't just happen because God don't lie. This is the same God, and he the same way, but he is laid out here. What made Israel, Israel was how they lived. Their life stood out from everybody else's. And people call them names just like people call us holy rollers and all that old kind of stuff. Why? Because they want the blessings of God, but they don't want to do what God say, how he say, when he say. See, this is the key. See, I'm right now, I'm enjoying life. I don't like paying more for gas, but I can afford to pay more for gas. I can afford to pay it and drive and do what I'm doing. You know, I'm not fearful of none of this going on, see. Because my God supplies all my needs according to his risen glory. But if you had to go back and read what it says before that statement, that's in Philippians, I believe, 4:19, just like here, he given criteria. He ain't just saying just humble your, he ain't just saying just pray. He said, one, he identified who could do it. He's talking about we in a nation, like I'm in this country, you know, One sad moment I had was when I actually asked God, was America a Christian nation? Now, before I had asked him that, I did not believe it. Why? Because from the time they got off the boat at Plymouth Rock, they was clowning. The history of America shows nothing about them being acting like Christians, killing the Indians. How is that Christian? Enslaving people and killing and lynching them. How is that Christian? Where was the Christianity at? I know people still mad at Christianity about that now. But listen, Christianity and people acting like Christians ain't the same thing. Okay, ain't the same thing. God told me this, so what that meant was because that was his intention for this to be a Christian nation. If you're not acting Christian, then you're gonna suffer the judgment, because that's what he said. He'll cut off the heavens. So, okay, now, so because food prices going up, a lot of people could stand to lose some weight anyway. But at the same time, you will find throughout the Bible that those that submit and obey God, it didn't impact that. You go back to the book of Genesis, I believe it was Isaac, it says Isaac was going to head down to where he thought the prosperity was. God told him to stay where the poverty is, and it says he sowed, and in that season reaped 100-fold. See, God will identify you. Now, again, this is the same thing. Isaac had to live a certain way, okay? Okay, and Abraham taught him. That was, I believe, in Genesis chapter 18. See, this is not, but why? Because to do that, you're commanding the power of God. You're commanding the movement of angels. There's a whole lot of activity. We could probably see it in our natural eye. Then it, you know, it makes sense. But God wants us to what? Operate by faith. Fervent action. In trusting him. That's the acronym I receive, and I stand with that. All right. And it says humble yourself. That is, you can't even be a Christian if you don't. You can't stay a Christian if you don't. You won't succeed as a Christian if you don't. Okay? If you don't humble yourself, submit yourself. Let me see if I can dig that up a little more. Hold on. Give me a minute here. See, this is all critical because right now, again, these tragic events that are happening, you can't do religion and survive this. You got to do it God's way. Right now, see, I have this thought that, you know, when I hear the term of denomination, that tells me right there they have decided. Okay, what they are going to believe and what they're not going to believe. If it's something I don't understand, well, one, I will ask God. If it's something that I believe I should participate in, I will ask God, because at the end of the day, he's the only one that's going to judge me, okay? And the word that I get for him is kana, K-A-N-A, in the Hebrew, talking about humble yourself, humiliate, vanquish, bring into subjection. See, that means you have to make a choice in this, under subjection. You have to make a choice in this. Again, it's because you are a powerful person. You're more powerful than you. Because you don't get to fly around and tip up top of mountains and all that things and do all those things, you don't realize it. You think because all you get to do is walk around on earth, drive a car and all that you're not that powerful. But you are. If God said you are. Think about this. Would he go through all these changes, all this drama, if it was really something as simple? I mean, I'm still waiting on a reply, and I know I could be wrong about some things, because my name Richard, it ain't Jehovah. Them two different people. One of us have a birthday, and that's me, okay? So I don't know everything, and I'm open, because there are people I know that know more than me, but I just think there is a reason, or I think the reason, we have to have 1,000 years of training is because that will be, we got two types of people on the planet, but one group is complete, third gen man, that's man in the fullness like Jesus is now. Jesus is bulletproof now. You couldn't kill him again, okay? He can fly, he can move, he can command total atmosphere at all times. This is why in John 20:26. Look at what people are doing with power. Look what people do with money. I was reading something, I forgot what it was, but anyway, it was this. I posted this article on YouTube, on Facebook, about these 24 athletes just struggling with money problems when they're making millions of dollars. Why? Because they're not aware of the prince of the power of the air. They're not aware of how Satan will manipulate. And the body of Christ is not praying for them. It's challenging to be mindful of people you're not around. You know, and that really get a little concerned, you know, like it does something, because see, this is why it's 1 Timothy, Paul is saying pray for those in authority. You know, every now and then you will hear of a celebrity expressing or making a statement about using their influence to influence a decision, or like, for instance, one celebrity, I can't think of their name right now, but they went to Congress and they spoke about passing a bill to deal with these weapons, that people are using to kill each other. Let me tell you, that's another area that the body of Christ have to deal with. You know, the state of Illinois and California have the strictest gun laws in the United States and on the planet, and they have the highest homicide rate. So it ain't a gun issue. You got people that were good. They're getting. You don't have a bunch of holy folk running around shooting people. You got some unholy folk. What's influencing them? Okay, the devil. The devil. I think that's where I'm going to go next week, because I looked at my book and I think I should have a chapter is on the devil, period, completely, because people do not understand. God let him exist, but he does not have power over those who are called by his name, that humble themselves and pray, okay, and pray. See, Satan has been successful in convincing people that prayer is not effective because there's so much drama. But you listen to people, if you understand, if you know the Word of God, and you know what's required, and you know it's not hard to know what holiness requires, because people know what unholy is, really do. You know, and then there's some criteria, okay. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. That's in Mark 11:25. If you're not forgiven, you don't have no power. And you don't need to be a theologian to figure that out, okay? Anyway, the word palal, pray, palal, P-A-L-A-L in Hebrew, okay, is to intercede, to pray, to entreat, to make supplication. It's getting really specific there, okay? Point is, this is how we get things done. This song been burning on my head. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight. See, I've come to understand how powerful I am in Christ. And this is what it's talking about here. Okay? God is laid out here. And God don't lie. He, it's not even possible for him to lie. If he lied, everything in history would change in an instant. If he lied just a little bit, if he embellished, if he did anything, it would change everything. You know? And it's something. It said, turn from their wicked ways. Listen, that right there is another prayer issue, you know. We got to pray. You know, I hear people, they condemning they're going to have a whole alphabet before I know. I mean, I thought a queer person and a gay person were the same thing. I can't imagine what the difference is. I ain't even that deep on it. Bottom line is, again, you have people overcome by demonic influence. That's Satan. Satan is doing what? When two men have sex, they can't have children. So what is that doing? He is attacking the growth of the kingdom of God. Everybody is born. God let them bring them forth with the intent that they will become members of his kingdom and spend eternity with him. You know, look at the two issues that he is using to try to stop that abortion. Come on now. Outright murder and homosexual. But again, these are areas would seem obvious that prayer, and you can't go, our Father who art in heaven, let your will be done, okay? No, you have to be specific with prayer. You have to be specific with prayer. And this is why God gave us that authority to do it. See, we got to turn. And it's a lot of issues, and it's growing now. And I'm not surprised of the legalization of drugs, and I believe they're going to go up the chain and legalize the rest of them. I mean, for years. But, you know, for years, over in England, they had legalized heroin, and the point of the matter is, let me tell you what narcotics do. They reduce your resistance factor. You know, things that you would say no to, you end up saying, oh, well, why not? That's what that's about, okay? And, I mean, they're selling some powerful drugs. It's scary to me. I mean, I've had experience with drugs, and I know what they do. And even at that, you're dealing with the spirit. They used to call alcohol spirits. See, I don't want to get too deep off into that, but again, the influence is coming from a entity that can't be seen with the human eye with an objective. One, to keep you out of the kingdom of God. Two, to stem your power, to stop you from utilizing your power against him. All right? So, and then God said, then will I hear from heaven. Okay? He will hear and forgive their sin and will heal their land. So he expects some repentance to occur. And, you know, I'm praying for a revival. That's what motivates me why I have a book out to try to help a generation that really don't have I've talked to a lot of them. And, you know, when I'm out and to hear their point of view. And I get it. Because if you come up with in a religious family where there's no prayer, okay, there's no reading of the word, but you go to church on Sunday, you pretty much, that's all you're going to know. And then when stuff happens, you're not going to know how to defend yourself against the enemy. You're not going, because of lack of knowledge of the word, you don't know what is and what ain't of God. And that's the whole issue there. All right, so, but and it is, again, our responsibility to teach the children of God, or everybody that's born, we have to do that. We have to take the word out there. Matter of fact, this weekend I'll be going out, you know, with some brothers from the church to do some ministry work. All right, so we've covered that part. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 12 and see another incident. Now we talked about Solomon and what it takes to get the job done, and now we're going to move into the New Testament, amen, and see how this thing worked. Matter of fact, I'll take that back. I want to go to Daniel chapter 4, and I know for a lot of people they've heard this before, but and pretty much, I've been at this for 46 years. I ain't looking for a new word. I want the word to work, still be the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All right? And in this particular case, now we're talking about Israel. We're talking about a particular young man named Daniel. But Daniel prayed. But what I want you to see is, if you want to see your government change, what it's going to take. But anyway, so we know Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, at this time they are in captivity, okay, under a king called Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was like a lot of politicians today. They think they're all that. And this is going some kind of way. Anyway. So, all right. Here Nebuchadnezzar and got the big heads. You know, this is what happened. People now, they get to that billionaire status and they think they're all that. And you get to be king and they have a term for our president called leader of the free world. Okay. Anyway. But anyway, when you don't do what God say, you know, I didn't even know, you know, like the Pope had put out, I guess, an edict to deny the president communion. He did him a favor, because if you go back and read and about communion, you'll find if you take it unrighteously, if you don't take it with a serious thought about who Christ is, you could get sick and die, which is what explains why so many Christians are sick and are dead, as it says there. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar didn't got his head swollen up because he didn't conquer all these kingdoms. But even as though, you know, I can't remember where it is. I didn't look it up. But God called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. Because what had happened, Israel had been clowning. You know, they got, like I said, they let that money get to their head. They got to the place. It was a couple of generations from the generation that crossed over, amen, the Jordan and into the promised land. And this is something I caution you, because despite all the drama that's going on economically, and we're about to hit a tumultuous spot in our economy here in America, but after that, or at some point, I don't know if it's going to be before or after the rapture, probably after, I don't know, we have to see. I mean, even before, because what happens with prosperity again is, if you're not careful, you will forget the person that made you prosperous. And that's the thing that God was cautioning the children of Israel about when he was talking to Solomon. You didn't got to the place where you can be blessed, but to stay there, you have to do what you did to get there. Okay? Now, here you got Nebuchadnezzar, even though he is a pagan king, you know, his prosperity, his ability to win wars was about God showing him favor. Just like God let the rain fall on the just and the unjust, the sun shine on the just and the unjust, he will bless those that are not even have yet submitted to him, okay, acknowledge him as God. But at this point, you know, there's this, that you can see there's some impact of the impress of Daniel on Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Now, this is what happened. Let me see. I don't want to take a whole lot of time. All right. But, okay, let's read about when he nutted up. Okay, when his head didn't swell up too big. And it says, and we're reading in Daniel chapter 4, starting at verse 28, and I'm reading out of the NIV, and it says, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. This was documented and recorded. That's how we got a hold of it. So 12 months later, that the king was walking on the roof of the royal palaces in Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built? if I heard that before. If you want to know, that's in Isaiah chapter 14. I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power for the glory of my majesty. And the words, while the words were still on his lips, when a voice came from heaven, this is what is decreed for you, Nebuchadnezzar, you royal authority. Your royal authority has been taken from you. Politicians need to hear this. You will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cattle, and seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Okay? You know, people can talk all they want. Everybody they got it because God let them have it. And when they get to this place where they think they got it because their hands is great, God will pull the rug off from under them, all right? So anyway, that's what happened. He walked around for 7 years looking like a wild man. And you know, that's actually God being merciful because he could have killed him. You know, if you read in Acts chapter 12, he did kill one big head. Anyway, it says, at the end of that time, now mind you what's going on. See, you have to understand is what's going on, because as you read further on in chapter 9, you find that Daniel, at later on through this, you'll read in this book of Daniel, that he was consistent in praying to the point that they threatened his life, to the point that they wanted that he wound up getting thrown in the lion's den. They expect to be chewed alive, but that didn't happen. All right? It says, at the end of this time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes. Now, he done been out there 7 years. He got his mind right, boss. It says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. You know you're crazy when you don't praise God. It says, I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All right? Anyway, bottom line, for the sake of time, Nebuchadnezzar turned around and started worshiping God. You know, we might even see him in heaven. You know, it's, when you follow the laws of God, that's called being a proselyte. Anyway, all right, my point here is that the government, rather than complain about the government, we pray about the government. We pray about the government. If my people called by my name, that's the body of Christ, will humble themselves and pray in turn. Now, you can't be clowning, okay? You can't be cussing your husband out and cussing your co-workers out and acting a fool and driving down the street talking about people calling out folk names and all kind of stuff. That guy, I call that wicked, because you're wasting power. When people hate you, see, Satan, you know, I know, so I don't get a whole lot of people to give me a whole lot of drama in my face, because Satan know now that I will pray for them. People, if they're talking behind my back, he'll make sure I don't hear about it, because I'm going to pray for them. Because if you hate me, you hate God. If you hate God, you can't win. You can't win. You can't win. And I'm not worried about that. Why? It's challenging. I didn't overnight become this way. Okay? It took a while. But first, I had to decide. You come to a point of decision. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to do what God say, do how he say, and we go, you know, I'm just going to do it. Because he said it, and I've been not doing it, and this ain't working out. So if it ain't working out for you, you know, you're tired of struggling and battling, start doing what God say. A lot of times, you know, listen, I'm telling you, people, I see people go struggle through life. I know somebody struggling right now, and they should not be. I'm going to tell you something. It is no way I could be a sanctified, single Christian and be broke. That don't add up at all. I mean, it's challenging a little bit when you marry and have children, and even then, something wrong. You are not hearing God. God have too many. It is too many avenues for him to bless you. That means you're not hearing him. That means it's a consistency in not hearing him and not doing what he say do, how he say do, or God lied. Now, which one do you think it is? This is all purposeful. because it imprints in you and it becomes natural. This is why I naturally now respond in prayer when I see certain situations. It becomes habit. It becomes you have to train yourself to do it too. God ain't gonna force you. There's no special anointing. Lord, anoint me to pray more. Tell you, I heard a message years ago called "Know What You Asking For." If you ask God for more of something, trust me. If He give you, it's enough that we have power. You need power to overcome resistance. So that means something is coming against you, and to overcome that, you have to fall back on what the Word says. This is why the Bible talks so much about love, because it is a driving force. But it tells you something. God is the driving force. God is love. You're supposed to be submissive to Him. God, do God want to do it? That's what you should be thinking. Do God want to do it? What would God do? What would Jesus do? See, I mean, go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how he responded. He could have nutted up at him any time. One time he was righteously indignant. If you know, he went in there and tipped over tables in the temple. You know, they kind of got the best of him. Like, they call that righteous indignation. All right. But see, the point is, I want to see the success. I pray for the Pope on a regular basis. Why? I want to see at least what same thing as I do with the president. I want to see a Pope that will do what God say do, pray like God say pray, lead his people to pray. Man, that's 950 million people. If they prayed right, we'll see something major, mighty happen, man. That's some tremendous power the way God got this thing set up. But this doesn't happen because people complain. If they prayed as much as they complain, oh, how much better this country would be. And if they whine, complain, if they murmur, if they prayed as much as they murmur and complain, I don't care what happened with I do care what happened to the gas prices, but I'm utilizing I focus on hearing God in this situation. So, you know, if you living on what they call, quote, fixed income, then you need something that ain't fixed, okay, again. Now, see, when you pray every day, you're not going to labor with God, for God, and Him not bless you. Because he said the laborer is worthy of their hire. In other words, if they do the job, they're worth being paid. Now, if he is telling us that as employers, okay, then he's going to uphold that. You're not going to pray and God not bless you. It just ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. You're not going to outgive God. It means something to him. Even though it's commanded, he'll still bless you. He said, and then when you do it willingly, Psalm 37:4, you can even tell God that. I'm telling you, I just got something today, another part of my car. Not only did I get it, they told me it wasn't going to come to next week. I got it today, and I just ordered it Saturday. I got run into some issues. God, listen, this is a toy, my wife called it. It's a toy car. It's something that I'm put together. But you know what? It's God will entreat you. I got some. I'm telling you, I don't have space to get all the things I want, and I'm not going to go into deep debt trying to get them. Believe God. He'll show you how to get it done. God will do one or two things, bring the money up or the price down, one or two. He'll get it done. All right? One day we're going to talk about that, too, when he gives us a chance. So where we at? Oh, yeah, we spoke. Okay, we done talked about Nebuchadnezzar. In a few more minutes, okay, we're going to talk about Peter. We're going to talk about Peter being locked up in jail. Now, something to bear in mind or to be mindful of is that when Christianity started with Peter and them, even though they had the law and the word, they didn't have experience. Matter of fact, I think I want to close with Romans chapter 5. Well, we got this Romans chapter 5. Okay, verse 1. Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. But bottom line, let me give you the summation of what I'm going here for. Because this could take another whole session. And that is good. I'm all game for that, because it's not, like I said, I've taken in that anointing of trying to get detail, and I really am leaving out a whole lot, you know, because I don't want this to go on for a year. Well, but then I'm not really in charge. Now, this is Paul, and this is to the Roman Christians, but it's to the body of Christ, okay, which is us. But the thing here, I just want you to get, matter of fact, I want to read, I like how the King James, some things I just like how the King James say it, because if you don't get it, it's key words in there that I want you to have. Yeah, because it, even though they may sound the same, depends on how people, I got this program that I'm using to edit my book, and I use certain words, common words. I use a word called cognizant, you know, just be mindful of. And the computer said that even an avid reader may not know the definition of that word. I'm like, really? And that's why they had dictionary. They're supposed to stop and go and look it up. But anyway, it says, therefore, being cleared of guilt by faith, okay, that's what it said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, okay, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patient experience, that's the word I want to hang in on, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so this is why you had to read the word with prayer, so God can explain all this. And the more you become familiar, you got to think of the Bible as, if you've ever done, I grew up, they had these mechanical devices called puzzles. I know y'all have got them when you play with them on screen, but they work the same way. The first thing about a puzzle is you find the edges, and then you begin to fill in the picture, all right? So you got to really have an understanding of all that has went on, and one of the things that went on, when he said justified by faith. Now, that means when I come to Christ, he forgave me of my sin, all my sin is gone. So that now there's no barrier between me and God, and having accepted Christ, there's a covenant between me and God, which automatically entitles to the things that God has promised me, which is all things which belong to Christ, and that's everything. But, and then he says we have peace. You have peace because he gave us righteousness, so I don't have to work for it. Thank you for that, Jesus. Hallelujah. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we get it by faith, by believing God. And the continuity in making our mind and mouth focus on that reality, okay, because what comes in our mind and then comes out our mouths says what we really believe. Okay, and then he said, we rejoice in the hope of the glory. See, my point here, let me skip to this because I'm running out of time, is that experience. One of the reasons why I'm so conscious or believe in prayer is because I've had success in praying. When I wasn't having success, I started listening more because, see, when I go to church, when I listen to a man of God, I don't want, you know, there's a lot of things, they all good, but I want to know what makes this life work. And this is what I learned. I thank God for being these miners, M-I-N-E-R, miners. They dig out the words so I can get it, of how this thing works. See, I was listening to somebody else. Well, I was reading online, and they were hollering about prosperity preachers. I know they've never heard a whole prosperity sermon. They've never heard an entire message. Why? Because everyone that if you buy the six CD set that they have, that they offer, in there will be going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You ain't going to live any old kind of way, talk any old kind of way, rob God, steal, cheat, not serve God, and God bless you. A lot of folk be faking it to make it. That's why they had like 15 charge cards, buying stuff, coming to church dressed. You know, I'm so glad the church started dressing down. See, God required the leadership to dress, okay? And then you go back, that's, I believe, in Exodus chapter 28. But, you know, the people is wore what they wore. So now, you know, you gotta do the real. You got to walk by faith. You can't look like you faith, dress like you got faith. See, you know, look all sanctified. I'll never forget meeting this lady, and I'm thinking she's going to be happy to see a young man with a changed life, and that lady cussed me out, sound like a demon, with that big old coffee table Bible in her hand. Anyway, so we're going to pick back up on this, amen, next week. Because I want you to be successful in prayer. And that's the key. When he talked about experience, you'll be successful in it. Be continuous. And you got to communicate with God. Because I'm not going to be there all the time. I'm not omniscient, omnipresent. I can't be everywhere at the same time. You got to talk. God paid a lot to have fellowship with you. The death of his first begotten son. I have to be conscious of that first begotten, because now we part of that too. All right, but to begin this, okay, for those, this may be the first time you heard it. It might be before the rapture or after the rapture. But to get into this place where you have this relationship with God, where you have covenant power, where you have authority with God, and you're able to pray, this is what you need to do. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once you do that, he can communicate with you at a level that he cannot communicate with you presently by not having accepted him. It's a simple process. You can set your clock. It's going to take less than a minute. And just say this, Lord God in heaven, I believe that you are God, and I believe that you sent your son to die for our sins. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I believe it has occurred, and I believe your word. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, and I am born again, and I am forgiven. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. See how deep that is? That's something that is astounding. And when you do that, okay, things you might have done in the past might be on man's record, but it's not in heaven, and that's where it counts. And just know this, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week. Be blessed. And pray for somebody besides yourself.
Go 20s, but I die if I got it, man, I'm already dead.
Nice to get my flesh,
I done been crossed over.
See the full court press, I'm a full court mess. If the Lord don't use me, running from a trial, thinking everything's proven.
If the cross don't move me,
then I don't wanna breathe no more. If I ain't seeing Christ, partner, I don't wanna see no more. Rep him every day without worrying about a bruise. And I've been to China, man, I seen some real persecution.
If you didn't know Christ, would your life look the same?
And they tell you value Jesus by the way you rep his name, man. What's the point of living if I'm living for myself? Lord, empty out my life before I put you on the shelf. So for God I go hard, I don't wanna die tonight. But it's too many people living who ain't heard about the Christ.
Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go
down, you might sell a lot of records. But it's people out here dying and none of them heard the message. Took my wifey on a mission trip, hit Central America, shed a testimony, voted, people stood and stared at her. When she said Jesus, should have seen it was a stinger. 40 out of 40, never heard of Jesus' name. Oh man, we ain't focused on the war, we just kicking it. Worry about our image and our face up on the internet. Take me at the game, coach, I don't wanna play no more. If I can't give it all I got and leave it out there on the coast. Thank you for the grace, for the will and the desire. Got me living for your glory instead of living to retire. But I pray I never tire of going hard for Messiah. I don't need no motivation, you the reason I'm inspired.
Go, 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 go,